Coming up on Today Explained, I talk to one of the top stars of the Democratic Party and one of the most divisive about her run for Senate in Texas.
I wonder, like, is there times in which the rhetoric goes too far? Are there times in which you should say, you know, maybe I messed that one up?
No, not in this environment. I don't. I think that, you know, we are really in uncharted territory.
Representative Jasmine Crockett, this week on Today Explained. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Does the winter weather have you feeling tired, antisocial, sad? You may want to take a cue from our friends in Norway.
Really, they tend to orient towards the things that they like about the season instead of just sort of seeing it as a time of year to endure.
How to embrace the winter. That's on the next Explain It To Me. New episodes every Sunday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nate.
Yeah.
Nate, what are you playing?
Oh, you know, Caravan, Duke Ellington, Juan Tiesel.
Didn't you study Duke for your PhD?
Oh, yeah. Why do you ask?
Well, because we're tracking.
Ah, Charlie, great to see you.
Hi.
Hey.
Podcast time.
Welcome to Switch on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
You wanted to know why I'm jamming out to Caravan, Charlie?
Yeah.
It's because I can't get this song out of my head after hearing it sampled on one of the most exciting hip-hop releases in recent memory, A$AP Rocky, his album Don't Be Dumb, bringing Duke Ellington and Thelonious Monk back into the popular music landscape. I'm so excited to talk about this record, Charlie. We got into it a little bit in an episode a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We talked about Robin, and then we did some quick hits. Mm-hmm. And I played for you one of the singles from A$AP's new album, Don't Be Dumb, called Punk Rocky.
I like that track. It's kind of like if the 60s Wrecking Crew were playing on a Tame Impala song. It's both throwback and very contemporary. And I feel like it's a bit of a
distraction, perhaps?
Yeah, I feel like the record is a lot more diverse, darker, some really heavy hip-hop beats. It's not just this A$AP punk rock thing.
There is so much to uncover here. Maybe one of the most creative hip-hop releases that we've seen in some time. And at a moment when hip-hop's chart dominance has been waning, I feel like we have to pay attention when artists try something new and daring and still find a healthy bit of commercial success doing it.
Okay, so what does this have to do with Duke Ellington?
Before we get to Duke and Monk, we need to set the stage for some of the diverse sounds that you will encounter over the course of this record, Charles. Don't Be Dumb opens with a sort of message saying, I'm back. I haven't released a new album in almost a decade, but fear not, loyal fans. I am here and my attitude is intact. This is Order of Protection.
Cool synthesizers.
A little bit of a rainfall effect.
Yeah. Back from the fucking past, back, right up on the gas, back in my fucking bag. Yeah. The game that I can't divorce, final boss hog, all chats logged off, all call, sales screaming. Wow. Bold.
Ideal way to start an album when you haven't been heard from in some time, when you might be known better as Rihanna's romantic partner and father of her children than, you know, top MC in the game. You have to kind of make a statement.
Opens up, no beat, just that simple synthesizer, heavy beat drop, and then a lot of really dexterous sort of rhythmic modulation, jumping between triplet feel, quarter note feel. It's really good.
Auto-tune on the vocals, but not so much that it really transforms it. You can still hear his voice. And he's not holding back on this album. Later, we get a track that is clearly a diss against the rapper Drake. Stole your flow.
Stole my flow, so I stole your bitch. If you stole my style, I need at least like 10%. With all due disrespect, I hope you take offense. I'm gonna leave my print, and I won't leave. Ready made.
Dissing Drake, I don't know if that's quite original anymore. He already lost the biggest rap battle of all time, but these beats are dark and pretty heavy. It's not the uplifting music that I need on this freezing February morning, but I like what it's doing.
Well, it's 86 and balmy here in Los Angeles, Charles. But I appreciate the darkness nonetheless. I also appreciate the fascinating cast of characters that A$AP Rocky has assembled over the course of this album. Talk about dark soundscapes. This track features a songwriter who is none other than Danny Elfman of The Nightmare Before Christmas and many other haunting refrains. Tim Burton also has his fingerprints on this release, designing the cover and creating videos promoting the album.
The director of Nightmare Before Christmas, collaborator with Danny Elfman.
As we move through this record, we encounter some other fun, surprising guests. Thundercat shows up on the track Playa.
Is Thundercat really a surprising guest anymore? I feel like his bass is everywhere, but I'm happy to hear it.
I was surprised, but your point is fair, Charles.
So you can always tell if it's Thundercat by a couple of key characteristics.
Ooh, tell me more.
The main one is that he plays a six-string bass that just goes from the lowest range to the highest range. And he often uses this tone that you call an envelope filter. It's kind of like a wah-wah, except for the wah-wah, which you can move with your foot. The envelope filter makes a wah sound right when you hit a bass string, like every single time. Jerry Garcia used an envelope filter a lot. And I think probably where he's pulling it from would be like Bootsy Collins, like very Parliament Funkadelic kind of sound. And then the other thing, if Thundercat's on a track, he's going to sing in that beautiful falsetto.
Yes.
And it's that combination. I don't think I've ever heard it quite in that, with those like heavy 808s that are balancing out the low end. You know, his envelope filter bass doesn't have all that big sub, so the hard-hitting 808 complements him very nicely.
An example of these sounds you're describing could be found on a Thundercat track like Them Changes.
Which is him actually playing two parts. You get the low end, the big and that's him playing in the higher register of the bass, double tracking on top of himself, like showing that the bass is everything. You don't need a guitar.
Can we hear those envelope effects one more time, Charlie?
They are creating the feeling of a vocal like quality to a non-vocal instrument.
These signature Thundercat tones give us yet another palette over the course of this album. Let's keep going. Let's listen to STFU, which delivers quasi-industrial vibes.
Is there heaven for a pig? Might spray paint that on my van. Hit 200 on a bridge. Screaming, catch me if you can. Mama, I'm not coming home. I've been living with the band. They fuck sticking to the plan. I'm trying to stick it to the man. What?
The sort of breakbeat element, the bit crushing, it feels like I'm playing an old race car video game. Super high anxiety.
Appropriate for a song whose central message is to shut the F up.
Heard.
Air Force, parentheses, Black DeMarco, has one of the more head-spinning beat switch-ups I've heard in recent years. What?
Whoa. Wow. Okay, so if the last song was like Nintendo 8-bit crushed sounds. We're now moving to like Sega Genesis FM synthesized sounds.
Yes.
A little bit more hi-fi, but also throwback. I don't know. I'm just hearing a lot of video game reference in these songs.
I think there is a lot of video game reference. Also, moving so drastically from one sound to another feels like something that might happen in a video game, right? As you like,
yes,
go from one level to another, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
There are more surprises in store. The title track, Don't Be Dumb, samples Indie Darling Claro's song Sinking.
I can see the sky crying when your rain falls.
And when we get to the last track of Don't Be Dumb, appropriately titled The End, we are met with a beloved icon of the folk rock scene, Jessica Pratt, singing this haunting refrain, accompanied only by an acoustic guitar.
This is the way the world ends. 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 We just got nothing to bring.
This is as chaotic as our modern moment. I mean, we have like the punk alt rock thing. We've got super hard-hitting beats. We have Thundercat funkiness.
Yeah.
Video game music. Claro is, you know, bedroom pop. And
yeah,
now, like, alt folk. What on earth is happening? And yet, we still haven't even gotten to the jazz.
Yes. Also, I need to mention that, in addition to Jessica Pratt, Will.i.am of the Black Eyed Peas is also featured on that final track, The End.
Don't trip, keep calm, carry on now. Even though the wicked ones but the bomb now. Heard the stick with kids, wanna burn the sun down. Got sick pigs in the ghetto bucking us down. Dystopian, yes.
It's an endlessly entertaining potpourri, a bouillabaisse, if you will, of our modern musical soundtrack. But yeah, there's one thing conspicuously absent from my rundown of Don't Be Dumb, and it's what you walked in on me playing at the beginning of our recording session today.
How embarrassing.
There's one track we haven't discussed yet, and it is my favorite and in many ways the most interesting to me on the album. Hmm. It's called Robbery, and it features Dochi. And now it's time to talk about Duke Ellington, Thelonious Monk, and Caravan, because what do we hear when I press play on Robbery?
Superstar, jazz man, no guitar, rock star. In charge, in general, my crown is pop off. Popcorn, y'all coins, all y'all do is log on. New York, eat it, glizzy, now these niggas hot dog. AK in the sea, so it's been a hot boy. Dolce on the breeze, so it's been a top dog. Flaco season, sauce on, some think I robbed them. Why last 7 years?
Wow.
There's been a lot of sampling of jazz throughout the history of hip-hop, going back to the earliest days through the 80s, 90s, 2000s. It is a constant in many ways. And yet, I'm hard-pressed to think of many other examples where hip-hop artists take a jazz sample and use it so thoroughly and explore it in so many ways and draw so much of their own approach on the track from the sample. This is true not only of ASAP, but also of his featured artist, Dochi.
Come on, get on top of me, baby. You like the way I shop, well, you should sponsor me, baby. I'm the Basquiat Banji. I know you want my band too, not see your Sadies. Say that there, leave that there. We both rock Flintstones, they bound to stare. Them late nights, we ate angel hairs. They gon' hate where they can't compete.
They're not just rhyming over these tracks. They're like inhabiting characters in a way.
Yeah.
They're putting themselves in the world of a 1950s smoky jazz club, and their resonance, their cadence, their tone is all inspired by that. Their rhythm is inspired by that. This is a really unique and really exciting track to me.
Listen, I like what they're doing here. I want to get into the details. I feel like we should mention that there probably is plenty of precursors, one of which through the Thundercat connection to Kendrick Lamar, we could listen to the track For Free, and I think we get the same kind of like swung piano, smoky jazz vibe.
My other nigga is on. You off. What the fuck is really going on? This dick ain't free. You looking at me like it ain't a receipt, like I never made ends meet, eating your leftovers and raw meat. This dick ain't free. Living in captivity, raised my cap salary, celery, telling me green is all I need, evidently all I see.
Obviously, different in so many ways. Not a sample, much bigger band, but it also has that male and female collaboration going on. So it feels like it's maybe an extension of that world. Also, totally different styles of jazz.
Kendrick's For Free is definitely an antecedent here. I think it opened the gates for a lot more hip-hop artists to collaborate with jazz musicians. And in this case, we're hearing the work of the composer, saxophonist Terrace Martin. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as you said, this is a little different because it's an active collaboration between Kendrick and a contemporary jazz artist.
Right.
And yeah, though we have this woman narrator at the top, you know, cursing out Kendrick, I think that's a little different than the relationship between Doechii and ASAP on the track Robbery.
Definitely.
But yeah, most significantly to me is the way that ASAP is taking this sample and doing something new with it. That's what stands out to me. Mm. But yeah, no, For Free is definitely like in the shadows of this song. Let's go a little deeper into that sample. It is from a 1955 recording by Thelonious Monk called Thelonious Monk Plays Duke Ellington.
Great groove. Thelonious Monk, man, it's everything you want to be in a musician. You can hear a few notes of someone playing a song, which isn't even their own composition, and you know exactly who it is. The jagged piano, little dissonant intervals constantly, playing with time. It's so Monk.
I could see why Monk would be appealing for hip-hop artists to sample for the reasons you just said. The same way that Monk can play a note and you're like, oh, I know exactly who that is. You know, I think a lot of MCs would like to think they can say one word and people would recognize them. There's something very individualistic and often iconoclastic about Thelonious Monk. He's covering a song by Duke Ellington and the Puerto Rican trombonist Juan Teasel Caravan that was first recorded by the Ellington Orchestra back in 1936. What makes this song stand out within the jazz canon is the scale or mode that it's using. We're in the key of C.
Phrygian.
Exactly. We start on the root note. Instead of what you would expect, maybe, which is to move up a whole step at the beginning, sound like this. We have a half-step motion, which gives us this characteristic sound, often associated with Middle Eastern music.
And Eastern European as well.
And Eastern European as well. And certainly the title they gave the song, Caravan, maybe like conjures up these right. exoticized images of like foreign lands and alternate forms of transportation.
I feel like the trombone evokes kind of like a snake charmery kind of vibe. It's a very sneaky line. It's really smooth and slithery.
It is. It's very memorable. And even though it was kind of unusual within like a 1930s jazz context, it would go on to become one of the most popular jazz songs ever. Hmm. And beyond, I mean, by some metrics, this is one of the most covered songs of all time. According to the website Who Sampled, it's like a top five covered song. Hmm. According to the website Secondhand Songs, it's top 30.
Wow.
However we measure it, it's like this is one of the most popular songs ever. Something about this melody, this kind of mysterious mood that is established with the Phrygian scale really caught on with people.
Yeah, I mean, when I played very poorly in a high school jazz band, Caravan was one of the first probably like 7 or 8 tracks that we learned. It is part of the canon.
And Ellington himself would return to the song over and over again, including in one famous recording he made much later in 1962 with the drummer Max Roach and the bassist Charles Mingus on an album called Money Jungle.
That is some powerful piano.
I want to say this again. I don't think hearing this sample in itself is that radical. I think it's what ASAP and Doechii do with it that makes this track kind of unique. Even on previous albums, ASAP Rocky has certainly sampled other jazz artists. His track LSD, for instance, uses a drum sample from the alto saxophonist Lou Donaldson. Here's Lou Donaldson's Ode to Billy Joe. And here's that same groove appearing in LSD. And if we look to other hip-hop artists, we can actually find other examples where people sample Thelonious Monk and Duke Ellington. The Wu-Tang Clan actually sampled another track off the same Thelonious Monk record called Thelonious Monk Plays Duke Ellington. This is Monk's version of Ellington's song Black and Tan Fantasy. And here's Wu-Tang Clan's Shame on an N-Word from Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers. So thick, I'm fat, and yo, Ray came blowing and blew off your headphones, black, rock from yo, Cali to Texas, smoother than a Lexus, now my turn. Another Wu-Tang member, Ghostface Killah, sampled Duke Ellington's recording My Little Brown Book. This is a really remarkable sample, I think.
Tell you how the game go. We been getting rid of all the prostitutes. Shoney want the street back for sure. Too many hustlers, too many thieves. We're fucking up who's willing to fight and teach us.
I love how they borrow the rhythm of the piano line in their flow.
That was Malcolm by Ghostface Killah. And we could point to so many more examples. But I think what most of them would have in common is that they take a little snippet of a jazz recording and they loop it over and over again. Mm-hmm. We're talking a measure, two measures, maybe even just half a measure. That's not the case with Robbery. One of the moments that really arrested me when I listened to this track for the first time was hearing ASAP and Doechii sample the bridge of Caravan. Sex on the beach, please don't spill it on the meek. Address me as Chi-Chi, not Doechii when I'm in Loire. Rubies on the bro, vintage leather coat. You ain't invent this hoe, so please don't approach. Watch my black ass sit on this suede seat. We taking up space, these white folks don't faze me. Let's propose a toast, looks could kill the hoe. Princess cut diamonds on me, so cut throat.
Okay, well, it's really, it makes sense because Doechii is presenting a really different kind of romantic emotional appeal, and so they need something contrasting. What's contrasting to the A section? The B section.
We start the song in this like straight eighth kind of almost Latin groove. But then when we get to the bridge, we're swinging, and we're in a major key. It's very different. It's like we're jazzing it up all of a sudden, and then we get back to that Phrygian groove. But I would never expect, you know, a hip-hop artist to actually sample that jazz section in the middle. It's hard to do that. It's hard to do that successfully, to like rap over a swing triplet groove like that. Doechii makes it look pretty effortless, but don't be fooled, y'all. It's a challenging thing to do.
Yeah, I feel like they really earn it as well, because both of their vocal deliveries sort of fit the styling of each section. The opening Caravan main melody, it feels like smokier lounge vibe, and you have a sort of like spoken word lounge vocalist with A$AP Rocky.
Superstar, jazz man, no guitar, rock star. In charge, in general, my crown is pop off. Popcorn, jacons, all y'all do is log on. New York, eat it, glizzy, not eat niggas hot dog.
And then when we go to the more jazzy swing part, it feels like you've got like a swing vocalist of the swing era singing over the track. Much brassier, more upbeat.
Sex on the beach, please don't spill it on the meek. Mwah. Address me as Chi-Chi, not Dolce when I'm in Loire. Rubies on the brooch, vintage leather coat. You ain't invent this hoe.
It's a kaleidoscopic effect, but what does it all add up to? I have one more meta-analysis of this song, Charlie, that reveals all after a short break.
When it comes to the new Melania movie, here are some important numbers to remember. 40 million. That's how much Amazon paid Melania Trump's production studio for the rights to the film. It's the highest price ever paid for a documentary. 35 million. That's about how much Amazon spent marketing the film. 28 million. How much went to the First Lady. And 7 million. That's how much the Melania movie made on opening weekend, which is honestly pretty good, and certainly more than many box office insiders projected. So, how did this movie get made? Who's it for? And if this is finally Melania Trump's side of the story, what did she have to say? That's coming up on Today Explained from Vox. Listen weekday afternoons wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Net Worth and Chill, I'm talking about what happens after you've mastered the basics. How to build wealth that actually lasts for generations. With the top 1% holding nearly a third of the nation's wealth and 98% of them being men, breaking into generational wealth isn't just about getting rich, it's about changing who gets to stay rich. Plus, I'm explaining the Great Wealth Transfer, $124 trillion about to change hands over the next 25 years, and what it means for you. I'm answering your questions about calculating your net worth, whether you should rent or buy to build wealth, and how to pass your retirement accounts to your kids without losing them to probate court. Whether you're just getting started or already maxing out your 401k, this episode will show you how to think bigger than just making money today. Listen wherever you get your podcasts or watch on youtube.com/yourrichBFF.
There's one part of Robbery I haven't played for you yet, Charlie. Let's listen to it now.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to disturb, but this is a robbery. Yes, you heard right. Now, I'm gonna need everybody on the left to get undressed. Pause. Your phones, your credit cards, keys to the cars. On my right, don't move, don't make a sound. You be all right. Keep your pride in your life. Hey, player.
They just held up the whole jazz club.
I know. It's like a scene straight out of a 1930s gangster movie.
It's fun.
They bust in with their Tommy guns, and they hold the place up. Now, it's a fun scene, you know, in the kind of like way you would find a skit or an interlude in plenty of hip-hop albums. But I feel like there might be something even deeper here.
What's that?
What kind of robbery are we actually referring to?
Oh, it's a stick-up, but wasn't there a great famous couple from the gangster era that went around and robbed everybody?
I believe you're referring to Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, it's kind of a Bonnie and Clyde thing.
I think this goes even deeper. Dochi says, "You ain't invent this, so please don't approach. Watch my black ass sit in the suede seat. We taking up space. White folks don't faze me." I feel like the robbery here might refer to the theft of black music by white artists throughout the course of jazz, right? 1917, the first group to record a jazz record is the all-white ensemble, the original Dixieland Jazz Band. ...1935, Benny Goodman becomes the quote-unquote king of swing, the most successful band leader of the era, using compositions written for him by black band leaders like Fletcher Henderson and Count Basie. 1950s. Max Roach, the drummer we heard earlier, complains about, "I'm resurrecting the careers of all of these white composers like George Gershwin, but all the royalties from my music is going back to them. It's part of the reason that the bebop movement starts, a way to reclaim the music that was seen as being profited off by white musicians. And this cycle continues over and over again, the white appropriation and profiting from black musical creation. Is that the robbery that's taking place here?
I like your analysis. I feel like if you go any further, Doechii and A$AP Rocky are going to make a response podcast that's going to trounce our podcast. I mean,
I would love to hear it.
Yeah, because I would too.
Caravan itself is kind of an interesting choice in this respect.
Yeah.
For one thing, there's another songwriter credited on Caravan, Irving Mills, who was Duke Ellington's manager, a white guy who put his name on a lot of Duke Ellington's compositions to get a little bit of that royalty money, even when he didn't technically have any contributions. Hmm. He wrote some lyrics for Caravan, so maybe he did have some right, but the instrumental version, I don't know. Hmm. And then Duke Ellington himself was notorious for stealing his bandmates' compositions and making them his own.
Did he really?
Yeah. So the theft goes both ways. It's like, it's all a robbery, maybe, is the idea here. Everyone's just sticking up each other, jacking their style, but the proof is in the pudding, ultimately, right? It's not what you take, but what you do with it. And what are A$AP Rocky and Doechii doing here? They're creating something entirely new, you know? Bow your head and kiss the ring. That's what he says on this track.
Something new out of a melody appropriated from the Middle East and Eastern Europe, of a song that might have borrowed from other creators in a band that may have, I'm just speculating at this point, written by somebody who borrowed things from people on their band without properly crediting. It's all, what a stir.
Zoom out, and that becomes maybe a theme for this album, you know? Charlie, finish this quote for me. Great artists don't borrow, they
say, may I please have permission to license your work? No, they steal.
They steal. And maybe this track is like a mantra, you know? A$AP Rocky is going to steal. And I say that in a sort of friendly, benevolent way. He's going to jack everyone's style on this album.
Yeah.
Thundercat, Clairo, Jessica Pratt, Will.i.am, Danny Elfman. Everybody's coming into this project, right? That's the mantra here. Steal everything. This is a stick up. This is a robbery. I'm taking all your sounds. I'm taking all your flows and I'm putting it in here to create something wholly original and new. I think if this album is indicative of possible directions for the genre of hip hop to head, like, this is exactly the playbook that other artists should be following.
Well, one way to think about hip hop is that it is an archive of all of American music because of its innovation in sampling. Hip hop really expands the idea that when you're making music, you are in conversation with this much larger archive, this web of all of these interrelations. They're much more clear in hip hop, whether it's through a sample, a lyrical interpolation, a borrowing of flow. A lot of what the genre does is it allows people to stake a claim in a larger body of work. And so when we're listening to A$AP Rocky, we're hearing all the genres of American music, at least many of them, if not all.
Maybe that's even the way that hip hop regains its like commercial foothold, is embracing its role as the archivist of popular music. Maybe that's A$AP Rocky's new alter ego. You know, he calls himself Flocka. Maybe he could be the archivist. I think that's a pretty,
I like that.
A pretty sick MC name, personally. But yeah, I totally agree. More Duke, more Monk, more jazzy.
Serving your interests.
Speakeasies, more stick-ups. That's what I want to hear from the world of hip-hop.
I might have one other connection between Caravan and hip-hop. When you were playing some of the later examples with really heavy piano, it made me realize that Phrygian movement, it's something that we've heard before. Pharrell Williams likes to use it all the time. He just won a big Grammy for his achievements. But particularly, I think about Nelly and it's getting hot in here. So if you're not a jazz head, I'm just saying, I feel like there's a ways of sort of stepping backwards through the archive of hip hop and popular music to eventually arrive back at Duke Ellington. There is a pathway, and Nelly and Pharrell might be our bridge.
You can never go wrong with a Phrygian minor second, Charles.
Always feels good. Switched on Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, edited by Lissa Soap, engineered by Brandon McFarland, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb. Our theme music is by Zach Tenorio and Jossie Adams of ArcIris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, member of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
Find us on social media at Switched on Pop. Tell us, what are your favorite jazz samples in hip hop? What are the Monk and Duke tracks we missed? What artists do you want to see sampled in the future that haven't been?
Yeah, and we'll be chatting about it on Substack. And if you go to our website, switchedonpop.com, you will find a caravan of goods.
I see what you did
there. We've got a book, like the one over Nate's shoulder, if you're watching this on video right now, which you can do on YouTube. We have merch, which I am usually wearing, but today I am not. Oh, what is that? Oh, Nate is holding up a lovely little Switched on Pop sticker. I don't think we have that on the website yet, but we do have mugs, shirts, all kinds of lovely apparel. Hats of all kinds, including really nice new pink beanie that I'm very excited about.
The beanie is sick. It's true.
It is very cold out right now if you're not in Los Angeles. And what else are we doing? We're going to be back again on Tuesday. And until then,
thanks for listening.